Good morning. We're glad you guys are here. We're starting a brand new series called Supernatural. How many of you like scary movies? What is wrong with you? All right, so I'm glad there's only one or two of you in here that like scary movies. We're going to be looking at the spiritual realm this month. I've done the series before with our teenagers over the years, and we usually do it leading up to Halloween because kids get a little weird around that time of year, you know, and we just need to figure out what's going on there. So we invite you to come back each week. It's going to be a great series, and I've got some notes for you that go along with this series. So if you want, can I have a couple ushers come forward and pass these out, or a couple volunteers? Here, look at that. You elbow your hubby and you get picked. All right, so I can pick on her because I've known her since she was 12, right? Or 11, maybe even 10. All right, so anyway, guys, thank you for being here. My name is John Cousins, and I'm excited about this series. Thank you, Brad. I'm excited about this series because, you know, to be honest, churches can many times take one of two different views when it comes to spiritual things. And, you know, sometimes we can go hyper-spiritual, where we think that the devil is behind everything. You know, we walk outside and we've got brown spots in our grass and we swear it must be the devil, right? It could be just that you're bad at taking care of your yard, okay? Like me. So, but, you know, the other extreme is for us to think that there's maybe no Satan. He's just a myth, and that evil is just what we make of it, and it's all our own, and we ignore the spiritual side of things at all. And what I want to do is I want us to take us back to the Word of God to see a real scriptural place to come from when it comes to spiritual things. So let's start there. Check this out. So starting out this week, we're going to be looking at what is the spiritual war all about. And over the next series, we're going to be looking at angels. We're going to be looking at demons. We're going to be looking at the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be looking a little bit about the enemy, the devil, Satan. I hope that you don't tune me out. You know, a lot of times we go to church because it's the American thing to do, and you know, help your fellow neighbor and all that sounds good, love God and country, but when we start thinking about the whole spiritual side of things, we can sometimes turn off because what you often see, you don't believe, and so, or what you don't see, you often don't believe, and so I want to encourage you to travel with me through this series back to the Word of God to really see what we can learn from the scriptures. And I think that if you are open and honest, I believe the Holy Spirit will teach you a lot about your history, about struggles you're going through even currently, and about, you know, how to just really walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and have a successful, fulfilling Christian life. And so I really hope that you join us for the series and are open to what God wants to teach you and teach me as I lead us through this series. We do have some notes for you. There's two sheets, really. One is got this banner across the top. This is more of like a sheet for you to take home. I really want to encourage us as Christians to eat daily. Now, I'm not talking about physical food. I'm talking about spiritual food. If we want to really become what God has called us to be, we need to be feeding on Him and His Word daily. And this is a tool to help you do that over this next week and possibly even through the series. There's some questions for you to think through throughout the week. If you've got a personal time where you open up the Word of God or take some time to be quiet, maybe on a bus ride or on a commute to work or maybe at a lunch or whenever it is that you can find time. There's some good questions for you to reflect on and to think deeper about the study we're going through. And on the back, at the end of our teaching today, I'm going to talk about the armor of God. And the back is kind of an example of a way that you can pray through the armor of God in your own life so that you can be prepared when the attacks of the enemy come. So that sheet's for you to take and use as a resource. And this little one is more of your handout and outline for where we're going today. So there's some blanks there for you to fill out as we go. All right, so are you guys ready to get weird? You've wondered what kind of church Hope Hill is. Will the ushers please bring the snakes forward at this time? No, I'm just joking, okay? We're not weird in that way. We are weird in the sense if someone were to look at us and say, do you really believe what the Bible says? Yeah. And if that's weird, yeah, we're weird. Do we really believe that there is a spiritual realm out there where there is more than meets the eye? Transformers, more. Okay, so yes, we believe that. We believe that right now, there are possibly angels and demons both in our presence. Okay, that's getting a little weird. It's the truth. If we look at the Word of God, you're going to see that. And I pray that our hearts and our minds and our beings are open to realize that there is more than just the physical. There's more than just the flesh. We are a spiritual being encased in a physical body, and God is spirit, and there is a war going on where we can't see it. So my hope is that you'll dive in with me and be open to these thoughts. Even if you're doubting some of what I'm saying right now, my deeper hope is that you'll go back to the Word of God itself and you'll look at what verses I'm going to be sharing with you and some of the stories I'm going to be referencing. And if you have questions, email me and I'll get back to you. All right, so let's start with 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 4. It says this, "For though we live in the world, this physical world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of this world." Basically, the point of what's being said here is that there is another realm, and we can't fight in that realm with tanks and nuclear bombs and stealth fighters and the best of technology. We have a different way that we have to interact when it comes to the spiritual realm. These consist of prayer. These weapons consist of faith and, most importantly, the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, if we look back at the passage that was kind of thrown up there a minute ago, it says this, "Finally, be strong in what? In the Lord." I pointed out last week that as Jesus was getting ready to leave, to ascend back up to heaven, and he was leaving us behind to carry on his mission, he said, "I want you to wait, because before you can be my witnesses in this world, you've got to wait till the Holy Spirit comes, because the Holy Spirit is going to bring what? Power." And that word we learned is actually the word we get dynamite from. It's dunamis. And that is some powerful stuff. And that is intentionally being said by Christ, that you need the power of God in order to live the kind of life that he's called us to live. We cannot fight in our own strength against the forces of darkness. You may be sitting here today and you have struggled your entire life with some type of habit that you can't break. You may have some kind of tendency to lean towards something that's destructive, maybe a short fuse, a bad temper, maybe some kind of destructive behavior, maybe a tendency towards lying or towards lust or towards some kind of addiction. A lot of times we think, oh, we just need to get in the right counseling group, or a self-help book has to be read, or we think that somehow we can overcome these things on our own, but the truth is we can't. We have to depend on the Lord and his power. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against," what? "The devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So, let's look into this month together. We have, sure, physical body, but our bodies are made up of body, mind, and soul. We have a spirit about us, and if we neglect spiritual things, we will never truly discover all that God has for us to learn about Him and who we are. What we see is not all there is. The first thing I want you to realize that's very important about the spiritual realm is none of us are alone in our battles. You are not alone in your battles. There's some awesome stories in the Old Testament. One of my favorite stories is when we see angels get involved in war. Oftentimes, I love the movies like Lord of the Rings. You get any Lord of the Rings fans here? Yeah. The battle at Helm's Deep. Okay, all the good guys, if you will, are in this mountain, and these, I forget what they're called, these bad guys are coming up. Okay, the monstrous looking guys, and they're the orcs. Yes, the orcs are coming up, and they're attacking, and it all seems like everything is about to be gone, and then the great hero of the movie, who in a sense sacrificed his own life to save the fellowship when he fought against that big, gigantic, devil-looking creature, Gandalf. Remember when Gandalf falls off the bridge and they fall to what we think is their death? Unless you read the books, of course, you know the end. But so we see Gandalf come, and over this hill, this bright light shines, and he's no longer Gandalf the gray, he's Gandalf the white. And this glorious light shines out of him, and these forces of good come down and take out the enemy. The truth is that like that scene, we are never alone in our battles. There is a scene in 2 Kings chapter 6 where enemy is coming up against the nation of Israel. And this force is huge. They outnumber the army of Israel. There's really no way Israel can win on their own. And this force comes in, and one of the servants of the king comes up to Elijah, and he says, there's no way we can win. We're outnumbered. And Elijah has this sense, he has this connection with God, and he senses the presence of God, and he prays this prayer. Let me read it for you. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open up the eyes so the servant may see. And so at first, I'm sure the servant's like, what are you talking about? We've got maybe a tenth of the army getting ready to come upon us. And he's like, no, we have much more with us. And he says this prayer, and he says, God, let this servant's eyes be open. And when he opens his eyes, when God opens up the servant's eyes, it says, the Lord opened up the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That stuff is great for movies. It's great for books. But to really believe that there are angels outside these doors with swords and chariots of fire, let's admit it, that sometimes can be a little hard to grasp and a little weird. Have you ever had someone come to you and tell you a story about how they had this weird, creepy feeling and they thought they saw something, and in your mind you're thinking they're a little cuckoo? Yeah? But the truth is there is more than we can see. Angels are real. We see them in Scripture. In our fourth week of study, TJ's actually going to take us through some of the Scripture's examples of angels through the Bible. And we're going to see real-life examples of where angels made themselves aware to us as human beings. We are not alone. And the great thing about that is in the struggles that you have, you're not alone. Angels and the warriors of God are there to watch over us. A lot of times growing up, we heard stories of guardian angels and things like that. Are there guardian angels? Yeah. We're going to learn about that more in our week dealing with angels. But we are not alone. The second point I want to drive home today is that, what's that blank? You are blank, are far. Your prayers. Your prayers are far more powerful than you know. Another favorite story of mine, I've referred to it a few times, is about a guy named Daniel and his friends. As teenagers, the king Nebuchadnezzar came into the nation of Israel and basically took everyone out, captured all the young men and women, took them into captivity, and said, I'm going to change this area, this whole land that we've captured, by brainwashing and training up the young men and women into my ways, and they'll become servants of the king, of myself. And so Daniel goes through this time of receiving the king's testing, training, and yet he remains faithful to God. And Nebuchadnezzar blesses him and raises him up as a ruler in this own kingdom. And later in the chapter, in chapter 10, Daniel's older and there's a battle going on. And Daniel prays to God, God, please help us, restore your will here. Bring your kingdom into this place. And nothing happens. How many of you ever felt like you prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing happened? Yeah. The truth is sometimes the answer is being held up by a spiritual force. Let's see what happens here. Daniel chapter 10, 12 through 14 says this. Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request was heard. Let me tell you, first of all, that when you pray as a child of God, God hears your prayer. He may not always answer right away, but he always hears your prayer. From the first day you prayed, your prayer was heard. It goes on. I have come to answer your prayer. Who is talking to Daniel? This is an angel speaking, a messenger from God speaking to Daniel. He says, but for 21 days, how long? 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. This is a demon that was stopping an angel, a messenger from God, for 21 days to be able to deliver the answer to Daniel. He goes on and says, I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, some of us have heard of Michael, the archangel, one of the archangels came to help me. And I left him there to deal with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I am here with you to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. So when we pray, God hears our prayers, but oftentimes there are forces of darkness against us that don't want God's will to be accomplished in our lives and in this world. And they will intervene however they can to keep the will of God from unfolding. And there are literally angels who will go to battle for periods of time trying to fight on our behalf. In this particular case, Michael, an archangel, was able to hold this demon back while the messenger angel was able to continue on to Daniel. We are not alone in our battles. There are angels fighting on our behalf, forces of darkness and light warring against us, and we need to know that our prayers are powerful. How many of you ever read an older book, Piercing the Darkness or This Present Darkness? Some really cool imagery there. Of course, a lot of it is just made up fiction. I mean, almost all of it. But one of the first scenes, I can't remember which book it is, this pastor's like praying. And these demons are all around him thinking they have conquered this town. And this pastor has given up in their eyes. And he falls to his knees in this weak, humble way. But as he prays, the angelic forces like get power charged up. And the battle turns. It's who knows if that's really how it happens, but it was cool to read it. But the truth is that our prayers are powerful. Over and over again, we are told that our weapon against darkness is prayer, and that we need to continually be praying for one another and for the other saints. And those of us who are children of God, you may have not heard this much in your life, but if you are a child of God, you are a saint. I'll get into that a little later. pray for the saints. Let's pray for one another. Our prayers are more powerful than we realize. So, being that there is this spiritual realm, and I know some of you aren't convinced yet, I haven't sold you, but I pray that you keep open to this. I pray that you keep letting God's Spirit reveal truth to you. Being that there is a spiritual realm, according to the Word of God, according to Scriptures, there are powers of light and powers of darkness. And one of the chief princes of this world is who? Satan, the devil. And so over the next few minutes, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Satan and the devil. Ages ago, before the world was even created, God lived in heaven. And God existed for all time in the form of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit existed all time. No beginning and no end. God is. He said, I am. And he always is. The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God will always be. But God decided to create. God is a creative God. And before he made this world and the planets and the universe and all that inhabit this world, and who knows, there may be a galaxy far, far away with Han Solo and Chewbacca. God made it all, but before he made any of that, he made angels. And angels were made for specific purposes, and we'll get more into that in our week with angels. But the truth is that there were all these angels, majestic creatures in heaven. But one day, one of the angels, one of the most beautiful of all the angels, came up and said, I've got a better way. And his name was Lucifer. He said, I want you all, my angel buds, to follow me. And the Bible says that he was able to convince a third of the angels to follow him. And they tried to come after God to take God's place because Satan, wasn't his name yet, Lucifer, wanted himself to be worshipped and glorified. And the Bible says that he and this third of angels were cast out of heaven to this earth where they now reign. And so the devil and the demons were one day beautiful angels like the others. But they turned against God, and God sent them here to rule over this earth while we live here for a time. There's a lot more we could talk about. We're going to talk about demons in 2 weeks. Next week, we're going to talk specifically about the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about demons in 2 weeks from now and angels in 3 weeks from now. So, there's this spiritual realm. And this all super powerful demon, angel, fallen angel, by the name of Lucifer, now lives on this earth. He doesn't live in hell somewhere with a pitchfork and like stabbing bad people. He lives on this earth. But the truth is as an angel, they are limited. They are not omnipresent. What does omnipresent mean? Able to be everywhere at once, at all times. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the only entity in all of creation. Well, not even creation. They're outside of creation. But they're the only entity that is omnipresent. God is everywhere at all times. Satan can only be in one place at a time. And so he has his minions, his many angels that followed him that do his work. And they are at work in our lives and around the world, seeking to do Lucifer's will and not the will of God. So what does the devil do in our lives? Well, first of all, he hates you. And he hates God and his plan. And so the first thing he wants to do is he wants to blind the minds of unbelievers. Some of you have sat in church a time or two. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're kind of tuning in and out. Some of this may sound interesting, but you're really distracted about, you know, what am I going to eat in a little bit? You know, who's playing who today? By the way, Denver's going to beat Green Bay. So I know I'm praying for a miracle. It would take a huge miracle. My fantasy team is almost all Denver players, but I've got Aaron Rodgers, my quarterback. So I'm going to be like a schizophrenic today. Who am I cheering for here? So anyway, just like me, you're distracted by what's going on around us. And the truth is, a lot of times, that's the devil or the demons distracting us. They don't want you to hear truth. They actually work to blind our minds from the truth of God. And they'll do anything they can to distract you, even if it's to think about something good. You know, Satan has his way. He doesn't want to necessarily make you think evil. He might just make you think of the next scouting project you got to be working on instead of tuning into the truth of God. He has his way, and he sets out to blind the mind of unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, "The God of this age," little g, it's very important to see that, "the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Satan and his demons are doing everything they can to blind the hearts and minds of unbelievers. And my hope is that you'll wake up to that and that you'll call out to God and the Holy Spirit and say, "Okay, God, I don't know if I believe in you, but I pray that you help me not to be distracted by enemy forces. And if you really are there, reveal yourself to me. Show me your truth. Help me not to be blinded by the enemy." And the second thing the devil tries to do is he snatches God's word from you, steals God's word from you. You may have sat in a service or two, or maybe you grew up in church, and at one time you felt like you had a faith. You felt like you believed it. But all of a sudden, one morning you woke up and it just didn't make sense to you anymore. It didn't matter to you anymore. You didn't feel passionate about it anymore. What happened? Well, Jesus says it like this in Matthew 13:19. There can be times when anyone who hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one has come and snatches away what has been sown in the heart of man. And it's the truth is that, again, because Satan wants you down and he doesn't want you coming to discover who God is, he's going to do everything he can to steal from you what God has been trying to implant in you. Maybe one day you were in church and you heard a message and you were like, "Yeah, I really do need to clean that up. I do need to change this. I do need to work on that." And the next day you woke up and you're like, "I can't even remember, you know, the commitment I made." A few weeks pass and you realize, "Wow, I made a," and you realize it was stolen. The enemy seeks to steal God's word from you and from your life. The third thing that Satan does is he sets traps to ensnare you. Do we have any trappers here? Hunters, trappers. What do you use to trap animal? What's it called? Bait, right? I guess it could be called other things too, but that's all I know. I have very limited knowledge when it comes to trapping and hunting. But I can shoot a civilian version of an M16. I hit the top of a bottle like this. Rob is my witness. From how far out were we?
The devil is dragging you.
Yeah. Thanks, Austin. Here's what I do know, is that Satan is wanting to set traps for us to catch us. A trapper uses bait. He goes out and he does whatever he can to get the animal to be lured away. And it isn't, again, always bad. I could be out at Bloom this afternoon and some crack dealer can walk up to me and say, "Hey, you want some crack?" You know what? I'm not going to be tempted by that. I don't want to be messed up by crack. There's nothing in me that wants that. But somebody else might come up to me and say, "Hey, you want a new car?" And I'm, "Okay, what do I need to do?" You know, there are things that are going to attract me. And you know what? The enemy knows what we want, what we desire, and he's going to use it to get us. In battle, it's best if you know your enemy. If you know your enemy's weakness, you know where to go after him. And the Bible says that Satan is here to entrap us and to snare. Look at what it says here. 2 Timothy 2:6. "And they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will." He is constantly working to do whatever he can to lure you away from accomplishing the will that God has set out for you. Anything he can do to get you to doubt God, great. Anything he can get you to do to walk away from your marriage, great. Anything he can do to get you to no longer raise your family the way he's called, those are the ways that Satan works. It's not like he's going to all of a sudden tempt you to become some satanic devil worshiper that goes out and kills cats. Okay, it's not going to be that extreme. It's going to be in the subtle things. He's going to come at you and he's going to slowly pull you away from God's path with good things, with bait to lure you away and to slowly ensnare you and trap you. There was a couple things I wanted to say about that. Let me turn to my notes real quick. So, where are your areas of weakness? Do you have a bad temper? Do you have lust issues? Are you easily a jealous person? Are you tempted by things, materialism? About 5 years ago, I'm sitting on my couch watching my 19-inch, 20-year-old TV, and a commercial comes on from Best Buy, and that was tempting. So tempting that I broke down and went out and bought a TV in time for the Super Bowl before they went way down in cost. It was like a car payment. That was Satan tempting me. I didn't have the money. I couldn't afford it. I didn't even talk to Brandy. I was like, I'll put it on credit. I can make the minimum payments. She'll never know. Bad. She knew, of course. I mean, you can't hide a TV that big. What's your area of weakness? He knows it. Our enemy knows it, and he's going to do everything he can to get you in your area of weakness. Don't let him be successful. The fourth thing he tries to do is he fights to stop you. He fights to stop the work of God in your life. Many times he'll come to attack. You'll come to a point where you realize that your marriage is struggling and you decide, God, I want to do what I can to build a better marriage. The next day, Satan or demons work things and you have the biggest fight ever. And you're like, okay, fine, I give up. Or you come to a point of realizing, I do want to get out of debt. We want to be better stewards, and the next day your car explodes. You come to a point of realizing, man, I know God's been leading me to share my faith with my coworker that I've known for years, and I just can't get up the courage. Okay, I'm going to do it. And the next time you go, some distraction happens. What's going on there? It's spiritual warfare. It's Satan and demon working to keep you from following through on the things that God is leading you to do. I'm sure there are many of you sitting in this room who have felt a call of God to do something at one time or another in your life, but there was just something small that popped up that got in the way. Again, it can be subtle things. Satan isn't going to jump out like a boogeyman and scare you into doing the wrong thing. He's going to put just subtle things in our way, but he's constantly fighting to stop us. 1 Thessalonians 2:18 says this, Paul was traveling around sharing the word of God in many places. And he said this. He was talking to the church in Thessalonica. Sorry, that's a big word. And he said this. We wanted to come to you. Certainly, I, Paul, did. We tried again and again, but Satan stopped us. He'll work hard to keep God's will and from you doing God's will. He'll work hard to stop it. The fifth thing that he does is his plans are to destroy you. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Again, he hates you. He hates what God is building in your life. He hates the faith that is growing inside you. And he's going to do everything he can to destroy you. Your marriage, he's going to do everything he can to bring divorce. Your witness, he's going to do anything he can to make you sin and disqualify yourself. Your kids, he's going to do anything he can to attack them with drugs, pornography, any destructive, addictive sins. Your finances, he's going to do everything he can to get you to go into debt, to keep you from being able to give where you feel led to give, to bring financial bondage into your life, so that you can't give and bless others. Your health, he's going to come after you any weapon he can to try and affect you so that you don't have the energy and the strength to keep moving forward, to have good health. Your relationship with God, he's going to come and he's going to try and bring seeds of doubt Is it possible another religion is right? Is it possible that God really doesn't even exist? He's going to keep implanting these things to keep you from growing in your faith with God. He's here to destroy us. The devil is here to blind the minds of unbelievers, to steal the word of God from us, to set traps to ensnare us, to fight to stop us, and ultimately to destroy us. So how is there any hope? How is there any help? What are we to do? Ephesians chapter 6, the passage that we've read a couple times, will break it down for us. How do we fight back? Ephesians chapter 6, 13 through 18. Let me just read it for us. It's very powerful, all on its own. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So let's walk through that real quick. I want you to, again, be reminded of the sheet that I gave you to take home. On the back side of it, it kind of takes you kind of step by step through that passage. But I want to summarize this. You know, Paul uses armor very intentionally. Back then, the Roman guard and many soldiers, armor was very common to this culture. And he wanted this culture to see that in the same way we have a spiritual armor that we need to put on in our own lives daily, on a regular basis. So let's start at the head and work our way down to our feet. What are all these pieces of armor about? First of all, we start with the helmet of salvation, okay? The first thing is, just like the saying at the end of G.I. Joe cartoons growing up, knowing is half the battle, right? Knowledge is key. If we think that somehow we can go into a fight on our own, we're going to fail. But if instead we know that our salvation does not come because we're good enough, because none of us, the Bible says, can earn our own salvation. The Bible says there are none righteous, no, not one. But instead of looking at ourselves and say, oh, I'm good enough, I'm righteous enough, I can do enough to earn God's favor, you can't. But if you know that God already has, through his Son, salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. He was good enough. He was righteous enough. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He sacrificed himself and his blood was shed to pay for our sins, to forgive us, so that when God looks at us, he doesn't see us as imperfect, sinful human beings. He sees us as justified, as cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And if we know that, we fight from a place of strength, of realizing that I don't have to worry about my own skills, my own abilities. I am fighting with Christ. Christ has saved me. It's he that has brought salvation into my life. So if we get our mind right, it sets everything else first to be in the right place. We put on this helmet of salvation so that our mind is protected. The second piece is the breastplate of righteousness. The Bible tells us that our heart is deceitful above all things. If we try to just go where our heart leads us, we're going to be led astray. Satan knows how to work our emotions and our feelings to take us to the places where he can work his will and keep us from doing God's will. And so the Bible tells us that our heart will lie to us. Our heart will lead us into making wrong choices. We are not righteous because we are good. Instead, we are righteous because of what Christ has done for us. And we need to realize that this breastplate of righteousness is Christ's righteousness. Christ was sinless. Christ was perfect. And when Christ died on the cross, he put himself over us to cover us. So the Bible says that when God looks down at us, He doesn't see our sinful heart. He sees Christ's forgiveness over us, Christ's love over us, Christ's righteousness over us. God sees Christ in us. The story, the prodigal son, we did a talk about it a few months ago. You know the story. The son grew up and he was like, give me all my earnings, give me all my inheritance. I want it now. I don't care if you're still alive. I'm done with living life your way. And he goes out and he squanders it all. He wastes it all. And finally, he has to run back home because he is basically at the bottom. And he comes home begging his dad, just let me be one of your slaves. Let me be one of your servants. I can't even be accepted back as your son. I'm not worthy enough. And instead of seeing that son and his state and the mistakes he's made, the father takes a coat and covers him up and says, my son has returned. He doesn't see the person on the inside. He doesn't see the mistakes and the mess. And in the same way, God the Father covers us with the breastplate of righteousness and says, I see a mighty warrior. I see a righteous one. And we are covered with that breastplate of righteousness. And so because of what Christ did that was right for us, we should be motivated then to make right choices for him. Let us put on that breastplate of righteousness. The next piece is the shield of faith. You know, all along this battle, Satan's going to be coming after you. The enemy's going to be coming after you saying, you're really trying to go to church after all you've done? You're not fighting off? You really think you can overcome this addiction you've been fighting all your life? You're not good enough. You're nothing. You have no self-esteem. You're worthless. And he's going to come after you again and again with these fiery darts. And the Bible says that when he comes after us with all those thoughts, all those impressions he's trying to implant in our mind, the Bible says that we take up the shield of faith to block, not just block, but extinguish the fiery arrows of the evil one. And we say, I don't believe you. I don't believe you're right. I am not good enough, but Christ is. And I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live. It is Christ that lives in me. And we die to ourselves and we live for him. And we put up that shield of faith and say, you know what? I can't overcome you. But greater is he that is in me than he who is in this world. And we put up that shield of faith to resist those thoughts that come, that make you want to quit, that make you want to give up, that make you want to give in to that addiction. And we put up that shield of faith and we trust in God's power to protect us. The next piece is the belt of truth. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is truth. And this piece of a belt is essential because it's the centerpiece. The sword hangs off of it. A lot of times it would keep the other places bundled just the right way, attached just the right way, and truth is the result. Satan is the father of lies, and Jesus said, I am the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so we've got to draw close to him and live a life of truth in every area of our life. And then the last piece that's mentioned is the shoes of the gospel of peace. And we need to learn to walk in peace. Everywhere we go, that God is sending us to spread the gospel of peace. Everywhere we go, God is trying to get us to use, even in the midst of trial. I know that years ago when Brandy and I were going through that hard stuff with her health, many times, you know, I just had nothing else to do but just to be at peace with God and say, God, I don't know what our plans are. I don't know what your plans are for us. I don't know if Brandy will ever walk again, but I have peace and trust in you. And there were people that would come up to us and say, how are you not just losing it? And the only answer was, God is with us. Somehow we know he's carrying us through this. He has given us a peace. And when we walk in a way that says, you know what? God is on our side. He has a plan. No matter how bad things get, he is on our side. That is where true peace comes from. A peace that passes understanding. And when we can walk and live a life that way, it shows to people. And it helps provide an opportunity for us to live out the gospel so that others can come to know who our Christ is. We should walk and with shoes of the gospel of peace. And then it mentions a weapon. What's the word? What's the weapon mentioned? The word of God. The word of God. A lot of us, we don't necessarily think of as the Bible as a weapon, but the truth is it's called the sword of the Spirit. If you're a believer and you don't know God's word, then you don't know how to attack the enemy. Jesus himself was tempted 3 times. And what weapon did he use to strike back? The word of God. 3 times Satan came up to him and said, don't, he was out fasting for 40 days. And he was like, I know you're hungry. Turn those rocks into bread. And 3 times, on 3 different occasions, as Satan tried to tempt him, Jesus started out by saying, it is written. And then he would quote scripture to attack the devil with. And each time the devil would go away and look for another opportune time to come back. And again, Jesus says, it is written, and he quoted scripture. But if we don't know scripture, if we don't know how to fight our struggles, then it's like giving me a sword and sending me to fight a battle against someone who's a trained swordsman. I don't know what else to call them, okay? It doesn't matter. I could have the longest, biggest, coolest sword, but if I don't know how to use it, I'm going to get my head chopped off. How to use it. In the same way, it's true with us. As Christians, we have to get into God's word. We have to learn, attack, come, study it. We have to mark it up. We have to fight back. Apply to our life so that when we have is the sword of the Spirit and to attack the word of God. And then it closes with telling us to pray. All it says this, and we'll talk more about the Spirit on, but we pray, even when we don't know how to pray, let's just pray. God, I know, I'm not meaning to pick on you, said meaning to sound weird, but listen here. God, I listen this week, if there's something going on in their life, God, intervene, and I simply pray for one another. And you know, times, you know, sometimes often we pray, praying, doing crazy love, a study in our presence, and we just pray about what we know. We just being what it is we need at that moment, instead of oftentimes to my mom doing something, some yard work, or even though I don't know the details of how to pray. So we fight because prayer is powerful. We fight against devil and demons by praying. Are you doing these things? I want to close this with a couple things. Christ came 2,000 years ago to point out that he offered up his body and his blood in our place. The time of saying, God, thank you for sending your son to die for me. Thank you for Jesus Christ to offer me for forgiveness. And as I eat, I need to do, help me to remember what you did for me, living right. And so as you pray that you say before your communion this morning, for each did for you, I pray that you take a time to sit there and say that I need to get right with you before I get in my life. Just take from you. God, help me to know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you about these things. And that you let God examine your heart, blood, these symbols of remembrance. Are you in a battle? The next thing I want in your life that you've kind of just tried to fight in is know that you're not alone. And today you can say, God, okay, I give up me to get through this struggle in my life. And then maybe you're sitting here today, and today you're willing to say, okay, that you've done listening to the woman of my heart, show yourself to me, reveal your love and truth, and make me a child of yours. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Father God, I pray for each as we go into this room. God, right now I pray. I need to realize that I'm not fighting this alone. You're here with me. So God, I pray. God, I pray that you speak to them right now and let your Holy Spirit comfort them. Let them know they're not. Surrender to you. They can be in this room in their place. Who the enemy is trying to blind their heart. Break through that. That you would in your truth. To be able to focus on you and see you. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move over these guys. We have prayer teams on the side. I'm going to be up front there. Move to the side. Know you're in a battle alone and you knew. If you know that you've been blinded and you need, this time is for you and God. Forward and let him speak to you. Let's worship. In your name we pray.